Have you ever noticed in Facebook support groups that there can be a lot of negativity, hopelessness, and lashing out at one another? As an IC dietitian, I've seen how discouraging that can be for people with IC who are just looking for support and guidance. That's why I created the IC Collective, a community that's focused on positivity, progress, and support. Something I've noticed after working with IC warriors for the past few years is people hyperfixating on diet as the main cause of their symptoms, when in reality, there's usually another trigger at play, such as stress or pelvic floor dysfunction. Each month, our members get access to an on-demand masterclass, and this month's class is all about triggers not related to your diet. After watching the class, you'll have a brand new perspective on your journey to identifying your root cause. But that's not all. When you join the IC Collective, you'll also get access to all previous masterclasses we've done, covering topics like flare management, supplements for IC, dining out, food additives, sex in IC, and more. Plus, you'll be added to our private community chat and can participate in a weekly Q&A with yours truly. It's a fantastic opportunity to connect with others who understand exactly what you're going through and get the support that you need. So if you're tired of leaving support groups feeling hopeless and are ready to join a more positive community that's focused on helping you manage IC in a way that's sustainable and effective, then the IC Collective is the place for you. Just click the link in the show notes to get started. I can't wait to see you there.
Welcome to the ICU podcast. I'm your host, Callie, a registered dietitian living with interstitial cystitis. Each week, I'll be diving into hot topics in the IC world, giving others a platform to share their story, and I may even reveal some of my favorite nutrition tips. Thanks for spending time with me today. Now, let's get into the episode.
Okay, everyone, welcome back to ICU. Our guest today is a registered dietitian specializing in gut health and digestive issues who created an integrative gut health app designed to help heal digestive issues, health anxiety, and create a community for those on a gut healing journey. So welcome to the show, Molly.
Thanks, Callie. So excited to be here.
I was planning on also saying your last name and then I got scared and I didn't say it.
No problem. All good.
Okay. I'm going to say it. Molly Pelletier.
Yes.
Nailed it. Okay. Perfect.
Nailed it.
So I feel like I've had quite a few dietitians on the show recently and, you know, I'm definitely cool with that, but what stuck out with you, because like I said, I've had like gut health dietitians on before, but you created your own app, which is so cool. And before we get into the specifics on that, can you tell the listeners a bit about your background and how you became interested in gut health?
Yes, absolutely. So I started studying nutrition in my undergraduate education and I went on to study in my master's. But in my undergraduate education, I started to have terrible digestive issues. And so I went from doctor to doctor, was put on all the medications. I had acid reflux, IBS, constipation. And I just was really discouraged. I felt super isolated and frustrated by the lack of support in the conventional medicine space for people with digestive issues, because what we need to heal from digestive issues is really a root cause approach. Like the medications can be helpful and the testing is really helpful to rule out anything more serious. But for a lot of us, we need that root cause approach to heal, and medications only go so far and sometimes actually can make things worse when they're not addressing the root cause. So I decided then that I wanted to specialize in gut health and GI, not only to selfishly just heal myself and figure out what was going on, but also to help other people who felt frustrated and isolated and, you know, wanting to get their life back. So eventually I was able to recover from acid reflux and IBS. And I went on, like I mentioned, to get my master's, became a registered dietitian. And now I have my own private practice where I see clients one-on-one. However, it's definitely, you know, not everyone has the resources and the time to see a registered dietitian. So I wanted to make a platform that was accessible to people anywhere in the world, anytime, just at their fingertips, where they could get resources for nutrition, lifestyle, everything from recipes to herbal remedies. There's everything is on Flora for people to, you know, start healing their gut and get some relief, also some community, some support in what they're going through. So it's been so amazing to have that and to like be able to help people in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can relate to a lot of your story and going through your own journey with gut issues and wanting to help other people because, you know, you were able to help yourself. So why not serve that same population? And I feel like the same because that's my exact story with IC. And same thing with the root cause that you talked about. I'm sure there's other conditions besides like IC and IBS or other gut health conditions, but a lot of the time our doctors are giving us medications, procedures, whatever it may be, that are treating the symptoms, but they're really not addressing that root cause. And so it's kind mm-hmm. of like a bunch of Band-Aid solutions. And I actually did an episode on this topic last week where I'm just noticing people going to the doctor for IC, getting diagnosed, and doctors immediately saying, okay, let's do an instillation, which you probably have never heard of that. It's where you get catheterized and they insert medication into your bladder, like liquid. And that's really invasive. And there's medications mm-hmm. that are out there that have some risky side effects. And it's like, we're jumping straight to those solutions and they could help you get relief in the short term, but are they going to get you long-term relief? We don't know that, but that's kind of what I've been observing, at least in the IC community. I don't know about you.
Absolutely. It's something, you know, something very similar in the acid reflux community. A lot of the population that I work with has acid reflux. And they'll go to the doctor and instead of really doing, you know, a test to some home remedies of exploring, you know, if there's some really simple home remedies to determine or give us a better idea if you have high stomach acid or low stomach acid, instead of doing that or asking about their symptoms, asking about their stress, their diet, they'll give them an endoscopy, which is also very invasive and scary and can add to the healthcare trauma, which I'm sure a lot of your population also goes through. And so it's, you know, I totally understand from a medical perspective that they don't always have the time to think about the root cause, but if we slow down and think about the person as a whole person, we can get so much further, so much quicker.
Mm-hmm. And reflecting as a patient, I was just creating a post for Instagram about this the other day, but I was thinking I didn't realize back when I was going through like the majority of my treatment in my early 20s, I didn't realize that I had a say in what happened to me and my body. Like my practitioners, whoever I was seeing, whether it's a urologist, a urogynecologist, whoever, they would say, this is what I recommend. And I'd be like, all right, are we doing it? And the thought didn't cross my mind that I could say no, or I could ask questions. Okay. Like, it's just sad. And I know not everyone thinks that way, but I know that there are a lot of people out there that just don't quite realize that. And it's definitely unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. One of the videos on Flora is about how to talk to your doctor about digestive issues. And it's so important to remember. I mean, and something I also didn't know when I was going through my gut healing journey, I didn't really know I had other options. I didn't know that dietitians existed for specific medical conditions. So a lot of the education that both of us do, you and I on social media, is like educating that there's other ways to heal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, we've been mentioning Flora, so I just want to spell it out for the audience because sometimes on podcasts, I'm like, what did they say? And then I try to Google it and I can't find it. It's Flora, F-O-R-A, and that can be found in the App Store.
Yes, Flora, just like the flower, Flora, it's because of gut flora. That's why I went with that name, but it can be found in the App Store, on my social medias as well, the link in my bio, which my social media is just at mollypelletier.rd. The link in my bio will have the link for to download for Google Play or our Apple App Store. And then you can also find it on my website, mollypelletier.com. But the app itself has weekly live streams with yoga and meditation, a really great way to connect and tap into those stress management practices. It has nutrition, recipes, gut healing protocols, meal plans, lots of resources there.
Yeah. And we were laughing about this before we got on, but I was in one of the live streams yesterday and it was a meditation and I was just getting so frustrated with myself because I couldn't like pay attention. And I'm one of those people that gets frustrated really easily. And that's why meditation never really stuck with me. So I feel like maybe it's something I need to just push through. I don't know if anybody listening can relate to this, but that is kind of one of the struggles that I've had with my IC being triggered mainly by stress. It has been a journey for me to find something that works in minimizing my symptoms. And yeah, I have my symptoms managed, but if I do have a really stressful day or stressful event, I will have a flare up. And that's the reason I don't consider myself to be in remission. And so that brings me to want to talk to you more about the effect of stress on the gut. What impact does stress have?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, you're not alone. Definitely when meditation can be really, really challenging in the beginning. And the goal is never to stop our thinking. We'll never be able to stop our thinking. The goal of gut-directed meditation, so the type of meditation that is on Flora, is gut-directed. And so it is targeted for people with digestive issues to try to heal that mind-gut connection. And it's been shown in research that there is a huge link between our mind and our gut. So what's going on in our head, our stress, can really impact our digestion. It can reduce stomach acid production, reduce digestive enzyme production. Stress can slow our motility. Stress can cause constipation and, you know, so the list goes on and on. But also if we have gut imbalance, gut dysbiosis and infection, that can also contribute to anxiety. So the gut-directed meditation really targets that gut-brain connection. In terms of stress management, it's really about finding things that help you empty your stress cup. So we have this cup. This is a way that I kind of talk about it with my clients. It's like we have a cup and things happen throughout the day, maybe throughout the week. And we can only hold so much in our cup. And then sometimes when we've gone on a long time with a full cup or our cup overflows, our body responds. And maybe it manifests as IC. Maybe it manifests as digestive issues. But we have to find things that empties that cup. And maybe it's meditation. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's going for walks in nature. Maybe it's like doing anything that brings you joy is going to help you decrease stress. So even if it's like, okay, I'm going to take the afternoon off and go get my favorite, go to my favorite cafe or my favorite library, or like anything that really is like brings you joy is healing for the vagus nerve, which is a nerve that really innervates our digestion and impacts our health in many ways. But finding ways to empty that cup, even if it's preventing the cup from overflowing. So like scheduling breaks throughout your day, taking a few deep breaths before a meal, you know, connecting with friends and family, remembering who you are outside of the health condition. And I'm sure that's, you know, as someone also with interstitial cystitis, super important to remember like what you love and who you are outside of everything. Cause I know a lot of my clients can get really, really discouraged and focused on the issues, but it's important to, you know, help try to keep your life as full as possible.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And another thing that kind of popped into my head when you were talking was when talking about how stress impacts the gut and the bladder and how it can essentially bring on an IC flare, talking about that, a lot of people receive that message that their pain is all in their head. And when a doctor says something like that to them, like, yeah, maybe the delivery isn't the greatest, but that concept is there. So can you talk more about that topic and how we're not saying the pain is in their head? It's definitely real, but, you know, can you talk about what's going on there?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's absolutely not in your head. So I mentioned a few things already about the way that stress has a physiological impact on our body. So it's absolutely not something that's just going on in your head. There's downstream effects. So when we're stressed, one of the stress hormones is called cortisol. That's one of the major stress hormones that some of us have maybe heard of. Cortisol can result in this impact on your body where digestion is deprioritized. So our digestion starts to slow down. Our blood flows away from our stomach and towards our limbs. And like I said, stomach acid production goes down. We can't digest our food as well. Some digestive enzyme production can be compromised. And so if we've gone through, you know, trauma or a stressful period in our life, sometimes our cortisol can be heightened for a longer period of time than just like an acute stressor. And that chronic stress can lead to all sorts of health conditions. And this is something that is well researched. Like, it's totally not just a theory. Like, stress contributes to disease in the body. And so it may sound crazy that a gut-directed meditation could help you heal from something like GERD or acid reflux, but it's absolutely super powerful for decreasing that cortisol and letting your digestive system shift back into the rest and digest response. There's a reason why that parasympathetic nervous system is called rest and digest, because we can't rest and digest if we're in fight or flight mode. And a lot of my clients come to me feeling like they're constantly in fight or flight. And we have to find ways, nutritionally, supplement, lifestyle, to get them into rest and digest, that calm parasympathetic state.
IC Warriors, I want you to visualize a life where you aren't woken up in the middle of the night every few hours to pee, where your social life doesn't revolve around where the nearest bathroom is, or where you can't eat the foods you want. I want you instead to picture a life where you wake up in the morning feeling well-rested, can go about doing the things that you want to do in your daily life without any difficulty, can actually have a social life, and can eat the foods that you want to eat and actually enjoy them. A life where IC does not rule every move that you make. This situation is becoming a reality for so many of our Road to Remission clients. In a recent poll my team took of members who have been with us for longer than 3 months, our clients' overall quality of life increased from a 3.75 out of 10 to a 7.85 out of 10, pain levels decreased from a 6.5 out of 10 to a 2 out of 10, and 60% of our clients reported being in remission or very close to reaching remission. Inside the program, my support dietitian and I will guide you through a personalized elimination diet where we help you investigate what your diet triggers are while also paying attention to non-diet triggers like stress, hormones, and allergies. You'll be supported every step of the way by not only me and my team, but the other 80 plus members of the Road to Remission community. We have bi-weekly support calls so you never feel alone at any point on your journey. We will also teach you everything you could possibly need to know to start thriving on your IC journey instead of just surviving inside of our education course. Lastly, since IC is a chronic illness and everyone's journey is unique, we offer lifetime support, meaning you can remain active in our amazing community for as long as you want. If you're ready to get on the path to relief so that you can enjoy summer 2023, apply to Road to Remission now by clicking the link in the show notes.
Mm-hmm. I never shut up about this topic. Like, personally, I know that I'm stuck in that state and I'm trying so hard to get out of it. But so many of my clients also, they come to me thinking my IC is triggered by food. That's my big trigger. And after doing an elimination diet, they are focusing on the food, but we also have them investigate other factors like stress and hormones and pelvic floor dysfunction, for example. And so many people go through that process and realize that stress is actually their biggest trigger. And they didn't even realize how stressed they were until they started to really pay attention to their nervous system and how they physically felt and pay attention to what was going on in their day and actually track that, put pen to paper and look back on their records and be like, okay, I flared today, but yesterday I had a really stressful day at work. Maybe it was that and not the banana I ate this morning. Like it can get really complicated, but when you start to keep track, it's like, that's when you start to really see what's going on.
100%. Yeah. There's so many facets to our health. And I have a handout that I show my clients a lot in session where it's like what we think causes the flare, and it's food always gets blamed. But then there's so many other factors. There's a whole other pie chart of things that can cause a flare.
Yeah, 100%. And then you throw in the fact that doctors are handing the IC diet list out to people and not explaining it to them. And then people will start to talk in different support groups on the internet and they develop this severe food fear. They're eating the same like 15 foods every single day and they're not getting variety in their diet. And then that additional layer of stress coming from that food fear is just another layer to this situation. And it's definitely becoming a big issue for our population.
So many parallels there. It's that happens with my clients as well, the low FODMAP diet or the acid reflux diet. And it gets very confusing really quickly. And it's totally understandable that food becomes fear, a pain point, and becomes very scary when you're really not sure what to do. But I think that root cause approach is so important and just determining, you know, what are the factors at play that could be causing symptoms other than food is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I was, I'm kind of a nerd, but I was taking one of your classes yesterday on flora and I was looking at, I don't know what class it was. Honestly, it was like something you're supposed to do in the beginning, but you were talking about gut imbalances. And I wondered if you could explain what that phrase means.
Yeah, for sure. So your gut microbiome is in your large intestine, and it's a collection of microbes that live there, and they produce really helpful compounds for our body. Our gut microbiome, our gut microbes produce vitamins, biotin, short chain fatty acids. These are things that we need for decreasing inflammation, for overall health. When there's an imbalance, when there's an increase in the levels of pathogenic bacteria or bacteria that can cause symptoms in higher amounts, one example is C. difficile. We've probably heard of C. diff in the hospital. Oftentimes that comes after frequent antibiotic use. It's because the good bacteria have been tampered down and C. diff increases. So you can have C. diff in your colon at any time, but it becomes a problem when it increases too high. It's kind of similar with bacterial imbalance. If we have an increase of those unhealthy pathogenic bacteria, sometimes they can cause symptoms. So that imbalance is something that I test for. I use the GI map testing in my practice. In addition, there's something called small intestinal bacterial overgrowth.
We actually, just before you get into it too deep, we did have a SIBO dietitian on recently. So if anybody missed that episode, go back 2 episodes. It should be there, but go on, Molly. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's great. Yeah, definitely check out that episode. But sometimes we can have imbalance in the small intestine. So what we want to do is, you know, identify what's going on, what is that imbalance, and then repopulate. Sometimes there needs to be some sort of antimicrobial treatment, but a lot of times people come to me already having done all of the antibiotics, antimicrobials. And so a big part of healing from imbalance is supporting those healthy bacteria with prebiotic fibers, making sure you're getting enough nutrition, supporting healthy motility, lots of different factors there, nutritionally, lifestyle-wise, and supplement-wise.
Mm-hmm. And if, you know, someone's experiencing that food fear and they're eating that really restrictive diet, then you're missing out on a lot of those nutrients that your gut needs to really thrive, right?
Yeah, nutrient deficiencies contribute to poor digestion, and it can be kind of confusing because, you know, signs of gut imbalance could be irregular bowel movements. It could be constipation, diarrhea, bloating, acid reflux, bad breath, fatigue. The list kind of goes on and on. But also what happens is we start to remove foods naturally because it seems like food is the problem, but then the under eating and the restricting also can cause low energy, constipation, you know, similar symptoms. So it's sometimes there's overlapping factors going on.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of that gut imbalance that you were talking about with C. diff, and I was just thinking how so many of us with IC in the beginning were, our doctors were either thinking we had a UTI or the test was negative and they still gave us antibiotics for a UTI, even though it was negative. I think that throws off that balance of the gut and really just starts this whole domino effect.
That is exactly what happened to me. So I thought I was having UTIs. It was really pelvic floor dysfunction. Went on 10 rounds of antibiotics within a year period or less. And then my gut health issues were just catalyzed to be really severe. And it's terrible. That cycle of, you know, not addressing the root cause or not looking in further, you know, really pushed my symptoms over the edge. And I know that's the case for a lot of my clients as well. The antibiotic use, it's great. We have them, of course, like when we need them, it's important to take them, but the frequent antibiotic use is definitely, definitely contributing to gut imbalance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I also wanted to talk more about health anxiety and how that can affect people with both IC and IBS. I mean, how frequently do you see that in your clients?
Oh, all the time. And it's so tough because when you feel like you've been disappointed or dismissed from the medical community, it feels like you need to take healing into your own hands. It's very alarming to feel like, you know, you're the only one in charge of your health and you don't have anywhere to turn to. So oftentimes where we turn to is Googling, and it's just a rabbit hole of this causes cancer and this could be that, like, and it's so hard to self-diagnose. It's really, that's why doctors have doctors. They need someone to take care of their health. So that feeling of like, feeling like you might never get better and that everything is worst case scenario, it's very scary. And I've been there myself, and a lot of my clients come to me that way. And it's really important to work with a registered dietitian who specializes in what you're going through, or a trusted healthcare provider, to, you know, get some direction, because it's impossible to see clearly once we're in that space. And so that health anxiety also prohibits us from healing because we're in the fight or flight mode, and we can't heal when we're in the fight or flight mode.
Ugh, stupid fight or flight mode. It really, it'll get you.
It'll get you. I know. And that's why I created Flora for people with digestive issues or anyone really healing, because you do the meditations, and a lot of them at the end, you'll have a moment where you visualize yourself in the future healthy. And I know it sounds crazy, but you have to do that to switch out of fight or flight. You have to know that in the future, you can get better. You will be a different version of yourself.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. And personally, I learned about that practice through Curable, and it took me a while, but I did start to tell myself, I can get out of this. Yeah, they're saying that IC is a chronic illness and I may never be quote unquote cured of it, but I am going to fake it till I make it and believe that I can be cured of this. And let's just see what happens. And honestly, I think that has really helped me, like truly. And just putting more, like, I don't know, optimistic and positive thoughts and energy into the atmosphere. I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but it does seem to have an impact on me personally. I'd be interested to see what that research exactly looks like. Have you seen research on that?
So in are you familiar with Joe Dispenza?
No.
You'd find him interesting, I think. He's pretty out there, but he proposes some interesting research and some interesting perspectives on the way that you, if you visualize yourself and you embody that feeling of healing, of what it would feel like to live with freedom, to be recovered, you are so much closer than if you are just constantly thinking about, okay, I'm never going to get better. Like I'm always going to be sick. Like, and I do really think that even on a subconscious level, if you're telling yourself those things of like, I'm, you know, worst case scenario, I'm never going to get better. It's really hard to make progress. And so we have to not only start thinking positively to switch out of fight or flight, but also thinking positively so that you know, feel confident in making the changes that you need to do for your health and, you know, showing up for yourself every day and doing what you need to do to keep your stress levels down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I do want to just point out that I think it's fair to assume we all have a period of time between getting diagnosed and like starting to make some changes. I call it like the grieving period. Yeah. And you feel every single emotion. Like you feel excited that you have a diagnosis, but you also feel kind of sad and depressed and overwhelmed because it's labeled as a chronic illness that doesn't have a cure. And you feel isolated because who in your life has ever heard of interstitial cystitis? I know I hadn't before I was diagnosed with it. So there's so many feelings that you go through. And I just want to validate that and just know that if you're currently in that stage of your journey, that's okay. I mean, the day will come, and hopefully that day is today, listening to us, mm-hmm. but the day will come where you are ready to take that first step. And that's great. Everyone's on their own timeline.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So in terms of Laura and joining the app, like what does the time commitment look like, and how long does it take people to see results?
So in the app, there's a Start Here playlist that you can access for free. The app is free to download, and then the Start Here playlist is free. And you can go through those videos. And there's one video in the Start Here playlist about designing your gut healing protocol. And you can design where in your life is Flora going to fit in? Is it going to be a 5-minute meditation in the morning? Do you have time for a 20 or 10 minute yoga class in the evening? Like what really is realistically going to fit in your schedule and how you're going to integrate the nutrition, the mindfulness tools into your life. So you have that opportunity there. And so what I like to say is you can start healing from and switching out of fight or flight mode with just 5 minutes a day. So there's 5 minute meditations. There's a whole playlist of 5 to 10 minute resets where you can just do a quick yoga class, quick breathing exercise to try to empty that cup and to start, you know, releasing anxiety. So the time commitment, you know, you could spend an afternoon going through all of the nutrition videos, and there's a ton of information on Flora, a lot of the same tools that we would work on in a one-on-one session, like meal timing, what's a balanced meal, how to eat for gut health, what to eat for acid reflux, things like that. But you could also just start with 5 minutes of gut-directed meditation a day. And many people who are using Flora have told me that they see benefits, you know, really right away because they feel like supported by a community. And so
1,000% agree with you. I noticed the same thing in my Road to Remission clients. They just knowing that they have the support of a dietitian and a community, it's like, okay, this is great. I can just breathe now.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Right. It's so amazing. Community is so important for your health. I mean, when you look at the centenarians that live till they're 100, one of the biggest things they have is community. And I think we forget how important that is for our health.
I did not know that. I didn't know that centenarians said that.
So there's this, I've looked at a lot of research about blue zones, and the blue zones are like the places in the earth, on the earth, where people live till they're like 100, and they're trying to figure out, why do these people live so long? And one of the things, I mean, of course, they're eating like food from the earth, they're active, they're like moving their body, but they have community, they have their like happy hour with their friends. And it's just, it's so, so important. And with technology and working remotely, and sometimes I feel like we get isolated. And so it's important to find that space where you feel like you have a community.
Absolutely. And especially with the internet giving us the opportunity to connect with people across the world, it's just so amazing that we have that tool. I mean, the internet has its downside for sure, but that is definitely one of the benefits to it.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's amazing that we can connect and that even you and I met on social media. So it's awesome.
I know. I love it. So besides joining Flora, what would you say are three things people can do today to start to nourish their gut?
Mm-hmm. So I think taking a look at your lifestyle, like, do you have time to sit down for meals? Are you burning the candle at both ends? Are you sleeping enough? Like, really getting kind of serious about, what does my lifestyle look like, and is it serving me? And I know that lifestyle changes take work. It's not easy, but thinking about, you know, if I'm not making time to eat and I'm eating really, really quickly, it's understandable why I'm having digestive issues and acid reflux. And so kind of slowing down, like taking some time to think about your schedule. Where can you maybe empty your stress cup throughout the day? Can you add a 10-minute walk into your afternoon? Maybe structuring your time a little bit differently so you can work more condensed and focused during your day, so you are on the clock less hours. Also incorporating a wide variety of foods. So diversity is one of the most important things for gut health. I know that that's not easy for a lot of people struggling with digestive issues, struggling with acid reflux, but sometimes it's important to remember that amount is everything. So even, you know, having a small amount of a food could be totally different than having a large amount of food. So familiarizing yourself, if you have IBS, with the low FODMAP vegetables. Not to say you can only eat low FODMAP, but there are so many foods that are lower FODMAP. Like, a lot of us get really stuck in the same 15 foods, but there's so many foods out there. And so, you know, trying to explore as much as you can start with the low FODMAP ones if you have IBS, just because sometimes that can be a more comfortable place to start.
Mm-hmm.
And then also thinking about your morning routine. So, you know, getting some sunlight in the morning, getting some fresh air, prepping a breakfast that's rich in protein and has a fruit or a vegetable, setting yourself up for success for the mornings, I think can be helpful, because sometimes that's like the only time in the day that people have to themselves. Or if we can set up that morning routine to be a little bit more intentional, sometimes that has downstream effects. So those are a few things, but I would say start small, pick one area or one meal or one snack, you know, really small goals, that 5-minute meditation, or maybe prepping a breakfast for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Small goals, baby steps, you know. It's interesting that you brought up like that morning routine, because I think so many people, at least in the United States, because we're just crazy with our work culture and all that, but a lot of people just roll out of bed, get dressed, go to work, and grab a coffee and skip breakfast, or they just grab something, mm-hmm. you know, not super nourishing for their body. And so carving out some time for yourself, and maybe, like you said, getting some sun in the morning can be really beneficial for your body and your overall health. I think that was a really mm-hmm. great tip.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we will wrap this up here. I know you already said it, but where can everybody find you on social media?
Yeah, so on social media, it's mollypelletier.rd. And then my website is also mollypelletier.com. Pelletier, Pelletier. And yeah, you can reach out to me. I do see clients one-on-one. And then the Flora app also has a 7-day free trial. So you can check it out and explore the tools, design your gut healing protocol.
Perfect. And I will link all of that in the show notes, but thank you so much for coming on and teaching us all of your little gut health knowledge. I think it's definitely going to help a lot of people. So thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please don't forget to make sure you're subscribed and following along. If you enjoyed this episode specifically, please be sure to leave a 5-star review and tell me exactly what you enjoyed about the episode. For more content, follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Callie K Nutrition.